Welcome to the Clinical Care Options Infectious Disease Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Adams. Today's episode is on what to do about missed cabotegravir and rilpivirine long-acting injections. Featuring Dr. Melina Murray from Midwestern University College of Pharmacy and Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. She'll take us through a case study of a patient on long-acting cabotegravir and rilpivirine who is planning a trip out of the country and is going to miss an injection during that time. She'll explore the recommendations and data to inform how to manage planned and unplanned missed cabotegravir and rilpivirine long-acting injection. This episode is taken from our series on key decisions in HIV care. You can follow along with the slides, which are available in the show notes. Let's get started and listen in to Dr. Murray.
Hello and welcome to Key Decisions in HIV. Today's topic is what to do about missed cabotegravir and rilpivirine long-acting injections. My name is Melina Murray, and I'm an associate professor of pharmacy practice at Midwestern University College of Pharmacy at the Downers Grove campus, and an HIV ID clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Let's start with a case study. We have a 24-year-old man calling the clinic about a medication supply because he's going to be traveling out of the country for 1 month. Of note, he recently switched to injectable cabotegravir and rilpivirine long-acting injections from bictegravir, emtricitabine, and tenofovir alafenamide. He has been stable for 3 months on his new regimen. He also has a commercial insurance provider. Looking at his labs on the right side of the screen, he has a robust CD4 count at 671, and his viral load continues to be undetectable. There is nothing notable in the rest of his labs. So our question is, how should we proceed with this patient that may miss doses of his injections because he's going to be out of the country and traveling? Cabotegravir and rilpivirine are approved as a long-acting injectable therapy for the treatment of HIV. Plasma concentrations of each of these medications are graphed here against the number of weeks. As you can see, the levels are consistent and well above the IC90 for each of the medications. Each of these long-acting injectable agents has a long half-life, cabotegravir with a half-life of 5.6 to 11.5 weeks, and rilpivirine 13 to 28 weeks. These long half-lives are what give these smooth pharmacokinetic curves seen in the graphs. The initiation of cabotegravir and rilpivirine injections begins with a month-long oral lead-in of each agent. Of note, these oral medications should be taken with food. On the last day of the oral lead-in, cabotegravir is initiated at 600 milligrams and rilpivirine at 900 milligrams. These are given as 2 3-milliliter injections. Then at 3 months and then continuing for the maintenance dose, 400 milligrams of cabotegravir and 600 milligrams of rilpivirine are injected as 2-milliliter injections. So now we will hear from a patient who has switched to long-acting cabotegravir and rilpivirine, and she feels that this has really freed up a lot of her time. She does not have the burden of taking a daily tablet, and she also now has some more time that she can use for traveling.
Since switching, it just kind of freed me up. You don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to constantly be managing it, worrying about it. Even traveling has been easier for me. I don't have to worry about tucking the medication or, you know, hiding it.
From the patient's perspective, being on this long-acting therapy has had a lot of benefits for her, including freeing up some of her time and not having that daily burden. However, as providers, we need to keep in mind that because the patient might be traveling, how are we going to be able to mitigate any unplanned or planned missed doses? So, of course, for our patients, life happens, emergencies happen, and patients may miss doses. The time points that we want to think about for this are the 7 days. So our first time point of 7 days, if there is a planned missed injection, patients can take up to 2 months of our two oral agents, with the first dose of the oral medication taken approximately 1 month after the last injection. the oral medication should be continued until the day that the injections are restarted. So for our case patient, this would be an appropriate method because our patient's only going to be traveling for 1 month out of the country. On the other hand, if the injection is missed by more than 7 days and it is unplanned, the injection should be resumed as soon as possible if it is clinically appropriate. Determining clinical appropriateness will be a discussion with the patient regarding a reason for the missed dose, as well as the likelihood of continued success on monthly injectable treatment. The recommendations for resuming injections after a planned or unplanned injection are listed in the table. If it has been less than 2 months since the last injection, we can continue with our maintenance dosing of 400 milligrams cabotegravir and 600 milligrams rilpivirine. This injection should be given as soon as possible. And there is no loading dose or oral lead-in or any testing that needs to happen in this case. If it has been more than 2 months, then we would need to reinitiate with our initiation dose of 600 milligrams cabotegravir and 900 milligrams of rilpivirine injections. And then the next month, we would start again with the maintenance dosing of the 400 and 600 milligrams. In the ATLAS and FLAIR trials, there was a high adherence to injection visits. This graph has the number of injection visits on the y-axis, and then the x-axis is the days from the planned visit date. 0 days represents that the patient received the dose on the planned injection day. There is a 7-day window around the target injection date for the patient to receive the injection. 98% of all of the injections occurred during this window. There were only 152 out of almost 7,000 injection visits, or 2%, that were outside of the window. All patients in both of these trials continued their injections after receiving an oral bridge, maintained virologic suppression, and no safety concerns were reported. Taking a deeper look into the 106 late injections, the mean number of days from the target visit date was 11, with a range of 8 to 28 days. The majority of the late injections occurred less than 7 days after the dosing window. Of those participants receiving injections more than 7 days outside of this window, there were no confirmed virologic failures or viral loads of 50 or greater at the 48-week time point. Data from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on injection timing was presented at ID Week 2020. The time period studied was December 2019 through September 2020. Overall, 93% of patients in the studies were able to maintain their injection schedule. Of the other 7%, 5% of patients received cabotegravir and rilpivirine oral therapy, and the other 2% received alternative antiretroviral therapy. Patients were on oral therapy for a median of 51 days. 91% of these patients restarted long-acting injections, and there were no confirmed virologic failures reported. Simulation data is the data that was collected to inform the current recommendations. The accepted cabotegravir level in this study was 0.65 micrograms per milliliter. This table illustrates the percentage of people over this threshold at each time point with each delayed injection. Delays of 1 week or less had similar exposures to standard dosing, but of course, any delays should be avoided if possible. So for our key take-home points, in the clinical trials, most of the patients received on-time injections. There were no reported loss of virologic suppression because of missed injections in the patients. It is important to discuss oral bridging with patients when they are initiating treatment so they know what to do for planned missed doses. However, it is not recommended to actually give oral doses to the patients to have on hand. This oral cabotegravir is supplied by the manufacturer and is not yet available at local pharmacies. And our missed injection data is informed by pharmacokinetic modeling. Thank you for joining us today for our key decisions in HIV care topic, medical minutes and podcasts with expert faculty, clinical thought commentaries from physicians and patients, as well as patient education sheets are available to print and share. All of these resources are at clinicaloptions.com/HIV.
Thank you to Dr. Murray, and thanks to you, the listener. To listen to more episodes in this series and to see slides and webcasts on key decisions in HIV care, see the links in the show notes. Thank you and have a great day.